soak in the presence of the praises of His people, and it not be foreign to them, not be a strange thing for them. I bet the other night, I've talked to Sidney Hannah, but I hadn't talked to Isabel. But I bet the other night when y'all went to the Bethel worship night, I bet it wasn't foreign to Isabel, was it? I bet she loved the presence and soaked in the presence, didn't she? And it's because it was something that not only did it resonate in her soul, and deep calling out to deep in the life of a six-year-old child, five or six, however, five, Isabel's five, but it was something that she had seen in her mother and something that she had seen in her community. And she said, this is the way it's supposed to be. And I celebrate that today. I really do. I celebrate that today. Amen. Y'all turn in your Bible, if you will, to the book of Esther. Esther chapter 2. Esther 2. Esther's kind of a tricky book to find. You can go to Nehemiah and hang a right and you'll find it. Esther chapter 2. I'm going to be very transparent with you this morning. I think this morning is a very, very significant, after awesome worship like that and good words and honor and different things like that, we could probably say, man, it's been great being in God's house and let y'all be blessed today and we could go home. But I've got a word, I'll be honest with you, I probably got about 3 hours worth of teaching that I won't do all today. I'm not going to labor you in that much, but we'll continue on Wednesday night. Who knows how far it's going to go. But I was struggling with some things this week. I was at a place where I was coming in, and Brett, I think we all do it as leaders. I was discouraged in some areas, and I was struggling about where I was as a leader, not where I was as a man, but struggling where I was as a leader. I was struggling with my effectiveness as a leader, struggling about where we were as a house at Victory Fellowship, and just really, just asking God and just seeking God. And Lori was out of town this weekend at a ladies' conference out in Dallas, Texas, and with just some Christine Kane and some different ladies that were powerful, and I'm sure she'll be probably releasing and sharing some stuff perhaps. I know things were deposited in her, but she was gone, so that gave me good uninterrupted time, not being negative toward my wife, but good uninterrupted time to really engage the Lord and seek the Lord and all of that stuff in the midst of busyness. And so I really began just to ask God these things and seek Him. And I had the most amazing day with Father God Friday. And in the midst of doing stuff, you know, I was at the shop until 1, and then I came home and was just had a ton of things. But Father God brought me into a place, and for several hours Friday afternoon specifically, it was like the Lord carried me. I know this sounds weird, but it's like the Lord carried me up to the third heaven or something. Just it was a thing. Sometimes God speaks to us as a friend. Sometimes God speaks to us as a lover. Sometimes God speaks to us as a father, Father God. And Nick, Father God got me Friday afternoon and for a period of several hours set me on His lap and explained some things to me and gave me such revelation and such understanding. I felt like it was Jesus with the disciples when they're like, Lord, You're speaking in parables and ain't none of us getting this. And He's like, dude, let me tell you what this really means. And Father God set me down in His lap Friday afternoon in the midst of busyness and began to explain things and give me understanding of things. And so I was really just blown away, and I marinated on it all day yesterday. And I've got pages of notes that I've been writing down. And as Lori was coming back from the airport last night, we sat in a restaurant and we were sitting and we were just sharing, you know, what God was speaking to me and what God had said to her at the thing and all that. So I'm going to release something in the house this morning. And I believe the understanding of some things, the questions that I had for God, and the clarity that He gave me on this. In my notes and all of that stuff, part of my struggles, and I said I'm going to be transparent this morning, part of my struggles were I know or feel it, but I know that I'm in a deeper place than I've ever been with the Lord. I feel like even as of late, the Lord has been giving me promotions that aren't seen, but promotions that I know are promotions. And when I say promotions, it's like gates are open. Gates are being opened, and the Lord has given me access to things that I previously had not been able to see or understand. And so the Lord has been opening up these gates and allowing me to enter into deeper places with Him that beforehand have been off limits. A lot of you have been in our home, and some of you have been in different parts of our home. Very, very few of you have ever been up into our bedroom and private areas. Very few of you have ever been there. You make it to the living room, and you might go and into the foyer area and all that. But very few of you have been into those intimate places that Lori and I share. And I believe, I know that there are different levels. The Apostle Paul talked about a third heaven that he went in. There are different levels that God will allow us to go into and reveal things to us and give us access to. And so when I say promotions, I know that I have been getting promotions in those areas. Because I've been doing this for a long time and been in the ministry since the mid-80s, and as of late, God has been rocking my world. And with this place, I feel like, of deeper walk, deeper intimacy, deeper revelations and promotions and all of that stuff, I find myself looking and saying, God, I feel like I see less response from the people than I did 15 years ago. Because I've always said, man, I preach a pretty good word. Now, it's a gifting. Brett, you preach a great word. Nick, you preach a good word. God's developing that word in you now. I can sit back. I'm enjoying just sitting back. Lori paid the greatest compliment when we were in Argentina. Lori listened to some Bible. We had real spotty internet down there. But she said she had listened to the some of the podcasts and all while I was out trying to kill and catch everything on the planet. And she had listened to some podcasts, and she said that was the most mature word that Nick's ever preached. Linda Carter echoed the same thing. And God will grow and develop and mature our things. But sometimes as God grows and develops and matures our things, the response is different. Because I can stir a crowd, and I can move a crowd, and I can pump a crowd up, and I can get you to run through the roof, and we can talk about a lot of different things, and it's exciting, and it's motivating, and all of that. But the messages that God has been speaking to us through me lately, and where God is carrying our house as of late, and where God wants to carry our house, is a much deeper and better place than we've ever been. But a lot of people say this is not exciting as perhaps it used to be in my life. And so I was struggling with that. I said, God, I feel like this is so much better, so much richer, so much deeper, but yet I'm getting less response from people. I'm not talking about whether people come to the altar or don't come to the altar. That comes and goes. But I'm talking about response from the people. And that's where God set me down and began to give me understanding and clarity on things. And so He carried me to the book of Esther. I want to read chapter 2 and blow through that very quickly. And then I'm going to come in and just start sharing with you what Father God told me. Let's start in verse 1. King Ahasuerus is a Persian king that is controlling pretty much all of Palestine. Israel has been taken captive. He reigns from India into Ethiopia. 127 provinces. So this is the most significant king on the planet at this time. 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia, everything in between. So he's catching part of Asia, and he's rolling all the way in through the Middle East. He controls all of this. And if we know the story of Ahasuerus and Queen Vashti, she was the queen at the time, and the king Ahasuerus was having a banquet. And he requested that Vashti come, and he was wanting to show off her beauty and all of that before all the people, and not getting into all the dynamics of it. At the end of the day, she refused his request, and so he banished her from being queen. Now, in these cultures, a king didn't just have one wife, but he only had one queen. He had concubines, you name it. I mean, Solomon had like 700. Can you imagine the estrogen surrounded by 700 women in his life? You know, that was the culture in which a king lived. So there was no shortage of women, but there was a shortage of a queen. And so that's where we are in verse 2. And after these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king. And let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of women, under the custody of Haggai the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them. And let the maiden which pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. Now in Shushan the palace there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, somebody say spirit of adoption. And the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together into Shushan the palace, to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her things for purification, which such things as belonged to her, and seven maidens, which were meet to be given her, out of the king's house, and he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Now verse 12, now when every maid's turn was come to go into King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months, according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women. Then thus came every maiden unto the king, whatsoever she desired was given her, to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned on the second house of the women to the custody of Shazgag, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more. Notice that. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, it keeps coming up, that spirit of adoption, was come to go unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his royal house in the 10th month, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then he went on and he made her a feast, and we have some marvelous stories that come in behind this. Did everybody get the story of what's happening here? You've got the king wanting to replace the queen, and so he brings in young virgins from 120-something provinces. We don't have the number of how many that came, but I'm sure there were hundreds that came. And they were coming in, and they were going to spend 12 months in the king's palace. Really, they were going to spend the rest of their life in the king's palace. But they came, and they were going to spend 12 months in the king's palace. And when they came in the king's palace, they were going to be spending 12 months of purification. And then they were going to come in and they were going to have one encounter with the king. And then after that one encounter with the king, they may never be called on again. But they were going to keep living in the palace. They were going to keep getting ministered to. They were going to keep eating the king's meat and drinking the king's wine. Come on, somebody. They were going to keep living in a place of luxury, in a place of probably for the vast, I would probably say all of them, a place of upward mobility in society. No matter what they came from, none of them lived in a palace like they were living in. None of them were ministered to and made over like they were getting ministered to and made over. None of them were experiencing the things that they were about to be experiencing in the king's palace. The Lord began to talk to me and carry me to this place when I was just really frustrated with some things. Not frustrated with something, but questioning some things and saying, God, I need understanding and clarity on some stuff. Struggling with a need for understanding on things. And the Lord carried me to this place, and He said, "The church has lost sight of the purpose and the goal. And that He wants to take us beyond purification." That's the title I put on this. It's the heading on all of my notes. It's beyond purification. He said, "We have come into a place where the mainstream church body today has fallen in love with the purification process. They've come in, and if you look at what happened with Esther, how many of you guys have been to a spa before? Don't you ladies love a spa? You go in, and it's nice, isn't it? I mean, you go in, and all of a sudden, you've got all these people at your disposal, and you might be getting a massage, and you might get a manicure, and you might get a pedicure, and you're probably going to get a haircut, and you're going to get a makeover, and you're going to just feel like, "Oh, doggone, I'm Jennifer Aniston today." You know? We come in, and it feels good, doesn't it? And at the end of the day, your skin does feel cleaner. That salt scrub worked. That body wrap, it did a detox on you. All of this stuff did these things in your life, and it made you feel better about yourself. It made you feel healthier. It made you feel good. And God said that we've lost sight of the goal. We've lost sight of the purpose, and we've fallen in love with the purification process. What should have been the goal for all of these young virgins that came into the palace? To be queen. To be queen. But Adam, I come in and I look around and I see, let's say 300. That's a pretty safe number. I come in and I see 300 other beautiful young women. And what's the odds of the king picking me? So I come in and I look and I say, all of these people, what makes me special and unique? But hey, I'm here and I'm getting purification. I'm getting 6 months in oils. I'm getting 6 months with herbs and all of these things. I'm eating the king's meat. With Esther's case, you know how many maidens they appointed unto her? Amanda, they appointed seven. Can you imagine seven girls and all they do is minister to Amanda and take care of her? That's their job for 12 months. Y'all take care of Amanda. Whatever she needs, you do it. And one of them's going to be your personal trainer, and one of them's going to be your personal chef, and one of them's going to be she's going to take care of all of your health things and all of that. You know, we're talking about the whole ball of wax, and you got seven of them appointed. And all these women are coming into this place, and it is awesome. And they're loving it because they look in the mirror and they see results. I say, "I don't know about this king thing, but I'm digging this because I'm prettier than I used to be. I feel more special than I used to be. I'm important. I'm significant. I left my troubles behind me. I ain't got to worry about paying rent. The king owns it all. You got to worry about the power bill. They're virgins. They didn't have kids. I don't have to worry about what my career is going to be. My career is this." So they're coming into this place, and all of a sudden, it's way better than what I used to be. Maybe I was a seamstress. Maybe I was this, and maybe I was that. Maybe I had six younger brothers and sisters that I was looking after. But all of a sudden, I come into a place, and there is a purification that is about me. And for 12 months, it really wasn't even about the king, was it? It was about them. It was about them. Who wouldn't love that? And that's what church members have fallen in love with. God said the modern church person, they come in and it's all about the purification. And I was a master at purification. For years, and I'm not saying that purification is not needed, but purification is not the goal. And Brett, for years I would stand in this pulpit, and in the church I pastored previously, I would stand in that pulpit, and I was a master at purification. Man, I can come in and I can challenge you as a man, and we can talk about picking up a sword and being honorable and brave and fierce and all of these things, and loving our wives and loving our kids and influencing society and all of those things. And you just need to spend more time with God and do this and do this. Get the junk out of your life. And God can deliver you from all of that stuff. And we feel good about that. We want to run through a wall. Because we look and we see changes. Now all of a sudden you're a man of honor and you're a man of integrity. Your thoughts are more pure and your actions are more pure. And you see results and you respond to that. You say, yes, this Christian journey is awesome. But we lose sight of the purpose of the Christian journey. Right? I even do it in my prayers. God, make me the man you called me to be. I pray that every day. Make me the man you called me to be. And God said, we are become addicted to purification. God, do this work in me. And God's still doing this process, and He's cleaning this out, and He's rooting this out. And I'm not saying it. Yes, study to show thyself approved. Yes, pursue holiness because He is holy. Yes, allow Him to clean the junk out of your life and all of that. But the end game on all of this is not just so Nick can be pretty and nice and clean. And we've fallen in love with it because we come into church, and you've got all these people, and that's their job. We talked about seven handmaidens. And so we come into church, and you know what we do? We look, and you know what the pastor's job is? Purify me. You know what the other minister's house in the house, you know what their job is? Purify me. You know what the worship team's job is? Purify me. Help me become the man you called me to be, pastor. And the problem is we ultimately get frustrated with that and bored with that because it's all about us. Marvin, as awesome as you are, ultimately you'll get bored with yourself, with just you, because you'll march around that same mountain. I've been getting purified ever since I got saved. Some of y'all, that's why y'all got bored in your faith, because you're still getting purified. And it wasn't a 12-month process, it's been a 12-year process. It's been a 50-year process. And you're coming in and you're like, okay, I need another round of purification. I've been getting slain in the Holy Ghost for 20 years. Come on. I've been having radical encounter with God for 20 years. I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost for 20 years. I've been speaking in tongues for 20 years. But we get in this place, this rut James was talking about last week when he was preaching about us losing traction and all of that. One reason, one of the big reasons that we lose traction is because our life is continually about the purification process. And it's supposed to be about becoming a bride. It's about the king. You know what got it for Esther? We read in the scripture on there, and it said that she found favor with Haggai. He was the chamberlain. And said that she only, when she had her encounter with the king, said she only carried in what he told her to carry in. And I've preached that way too shallow for too many years. I preached about us being narcissistic and saying, well, I'm going to come before God with what I want because I look good in this red dress. Red's my favorite color. It just sets this off. So we re-read, you know, and I said, but Esther knew that Haggai said the king liked blue. So she was way deeper in her wearing a blue dress because he likes blue. You know what she spent 12 months doing? Learning about the king. She spent 12 months learning about the king. She spent 12 months in the presence of his chamberlain. The chamberlain that knew him better than anybody else around her. Knew him better than the maidens. And God told me, he said, these promotions that you've been getting, don't be getting all giddy about too much in this, because what I've done is I've promoted you from being a maiden that ministers to people and purifies people to a chamberlain that tells them what the king likes and what the king is like. That's the promotions, Brett. I'm giving you revelation into heaven so you can carry the people from a purification process to a bridal status. You know something about the purification? You know what it'll do? It'll get you looking good. It'll get you looking better than all of these other people down at Cargill. And they'll come to Brett and they'll say, man, pray for me. And I see something different. And that's awesome. And that's curiosity. And that's a hook. But I want to tell you something about these maidens. You know how many of them had encounter with the king other than one night? Not many. Very, very rare. They may have had one and that was it. At best, they would get an occasional encounter with the king. At best. How many of you see significant sons coming out of kings that were birthed to concubines? Who'd Solomon come out of? A wife. A wife. Think about it. You talking about some lineage and some, you talking about some of this stuff? What's it birthed out of? It's birthed out of a wife. Who does the crown? Who has authority? Does any concubine have authority? None whatsoever. I'm going to take you to a place. We won't get there today, but I'm just going to throw this out there just to bait you a little bit. You know something that totally rocked my world just this morning? I hadn't even seen it until this morning. You look on in this. After Ahasuerus made Esther queen, you know what he did? He invited her. He made a banquet just for her, which was awesome. You know what was even more awesome? Two chapters later, you know what happened? She made a banquet for him, and he showed up. You know what you can't do if you're a concubine? You can't make a banquet for the king. You can't make a banquet for the king. But when you're a bride, she actually made two banquets for him. She made one banquet that was more public, and then at that one, he said, what's your desire? He told her, he said, I'll give you up to half the kingdom. Anything you want shared, you tell me. Up to half the kingdom is not too small or a greater thing for you. What do you want? She made a public banquet. You know what she did when she came to the public banquet for him? He said, what do you want, Queen Esther? Half the kingdom. She said, I want you to come to a private banquet tomorrow night, and then I'll reveal my heart to you. You know where real authority is, guys? Not just when we hope he shows up and invites us to something, or even on the grander scale when he throws a banquet for us, but what's even deeper and more powerful is when I can make a private banquet for him and he shows up and asks me the desires of my heart. You want to release change in the culture, that's how you do it. You don't release change in the culture by being a pretty virgin running around. The woods are full of them. I'm sorry, guys. The church is out here. I can go to every church in Harrison County and find good people that love Jesus. And I can find people that they love the Lord and their prayer life's good and their study life's good and all of that stuff. And at the end of the day, they're just a solid person that's going to go to heaven one day. We even have all these misconceptions of heaven. We're going to just go to heaven, and it's going to be about, man, this. I'm so glad. My dad's in heaven, and I'm going to spend eternity with him. But the focus when I get to heaven is not going to be me and my dad hanging out. The focus in heaven, you know what it's going to be about? It's going to be, we're smitten by the king. Whew. And I'll know him, and he'll know me, and we'll be there forever together. But it ain't going to be the focus. I get to spend eternity with my daddy. And so we've got to get to this place, guys, to where we stop being so mesmerized by the purification and start being smitten by the king. Because when it stops being about how good I look or how bad I look and I got to get the junk out of my life and all of that, at the end of the day, it's got to be about him. And it's got to be about the connection with him. I love her just as much when she doesn't have any makeup on and she might look like dang it, as I do when she's looking sharp. Come on. And you think, man, I want to tell you something about what that wedding night wasn't about. It wasn't about what color dress she wore because he liked that dress, that color. It wasn't about how good any of them were in bed because every one of them were virgins and were inexperienced. So that didn't get him. You know what got him? It was something that captured and stirred his heart. And there was something about Esther that captured his heart and stirred his heart. All of them were beautiful. All of them were pure. All of them were innocent. All of them had gone through the purification process. But there was a woman that so captured and stirred his heart. I heard Bill Johnson say something recently, and he said, if your gift, if your service, if your prayer, if your worship does not stir you, I promise you it won't stir God. If it doesn't stir you, I promise you it won't stir Him. If what you gave this morning doesn't stir you, I promise you it didn't stir heaven. If what you released in worship this morning didn't stir you, I promise you it didn't stir heaven. But when we come into these places and our faith, our focus, our prize, what rocked heaven? A centurion that acted out of faith. Said, Lord, I'm a man of authority. I'm from Capernaum. Just speak the word. Just speak the word. It rocked heaven. A woman with an issue of blood rocked heaven. A Syrophoenician woman rocked heaven. Jairus that would stand there while somebody else is getting his miracle and stood there in faith and celebrated with her. That rocked heaven. If it doesn't stir heaven, or it doesn't stir you, I promise you it won't stir heaven. The Lord also carried me, and I'm about to be done, and we'll develop this more on Wednesday night. The Lord also carried me to the prodigal son and the father. How many of y'all think that the father of the prodigal son would have had any focus whatsoever on purification when he saw his son? What do y'all think he smelled like? He smelled like pigs and a journey. The harlot smell may have wore off him by now. Probably accumulation of all of them. Y'all ever been on a long journey and you get home and you get off two or three stinky airplanes? And, you know, we did one of those 12-hour transit the other days. Really, it was 24 hours, wasn't it, baby? It was 24 hours the other day, and it was one of them whole things of you don't change clothes, and you're on three different flights across two continents. You don't brush your teeth for 24 hours, you know. And I got home, and it was just like, whoosh. I needed purification. So did the prodigal son, Adam. But you know what the father did? He wasn't worried about purification. He was worried about a restoration. He was worried about a restoration of relationship. He didn't come in and say, dude, we got to detox you. You probably got some STD and everything else and all of that stuff. Let's get you cleaned up, and then you can come into the house, and then, you know, we'll have a good meal, and we'll sit down. But y'all go take care of this boy and put a scrubbing on him, you know. That wasn't it. Get the lye soap. We're going to take care of business on this. He simply came in, and it said that he ran to him, and boy, Jonathan Heltzer got an awesome word on this the other night. Nick told me, and I just started crying sitting in here, and I didn't even hear the word. I just heard secondhand. I started crying. About the father running to the son and the father exposing himself and the father doing all of those things. And we know the story and all of that stuff. And the father wasn't worried about purification. He was worried about a reuniting, a relationship with son. You know what the goal is, guys? The goal is God wants to get us back into the garden. The goal goes beyond us escaping hell. I appreciate fire and brimstone sermons and heaven gain and hell escaped. I appreciate that. But it goes way bigger than me just getting out of hell. His desire is to get me back into the garden. It's to get me back into the garden. Get me back into the place of unbroken fellowship. Get me back into the place where I am His bride and He is. There is no greater expression of intimacy than husband-wife expression of intimacy. I'm not talking physical. I'm talking beyond that. No, that's God's ultimate expression. I honor her as my mother, and I have a tremendous relationship with my mother. I honor my daughters as tremendous women of God, and I have a great relationship with my daughters. But both of those relationships pales in comparison to my relationship that I have with her. Because the ultimate expression is that bridal expression. The ultimate expression is the marriage and coming together of this. And that's the message for the church today, is to break the cycle of purification and realize this is not the goal. I probably won't be the preacher that comes in and does all of these great self-help sermons that you're going to walk out and say, dude, that was awesome. Let me go pick up a sword and kill 500 people. I'm probably going to, you're going to hear, is let me tell you about the King. Let me tell you about what the King likes. Let me tell you what the King is like. Let me tell you about His love, and let me tell you about His mercy, and let me tell you about His grace. Let me tell you about His faithfulness. Let me tell you about all of these things. The powerful songs and ballads that are being released today are expressions of people's intimacy with God. And you look at the words. Look at the words of the songs that we sang today. It was about His characteristics and who He is and all of these things. Not the struggles and trials of life, but the greatness of Him. Some of the stuff we're singing now, Jonathan and Melissa Heltzer are writing this stuff. They're out of North Carolina. They're part of Bethel Collective. And I've listened, had the privilege to listen to them speak several times, her specifically. And the thing that I walk away with in listening to her speak is she is absolutely, totally smitten by the King. Isn't that what you take away from her? God has healed her of a couple of rare diseases, but she is smitten with the King. She's not smitten with the purification. She's smitten with the King. You know the message that needs to resonate? Here's the thing, guys, and I'm closing with this. The thing that needs to resonate in this house, and this is a deeper message and this is a more mature message than coming in as a handmaid and helping clean you up. Here's what I'm convinced of is if I can get you, if you can enter in into a place of being so smitten with the King and presence of the King, then the purification process will take care of itself. I don't have to worry about getting you clean, Ambry. He'll get you clean. There's something cool about this story in here with Esther. When she comes in after she's made queen and she does have a petition to bring before the King, even as queen, you didn't approach the King unless he extended his scepter to you and all that. In one of these stories, she's hanging out in the foyer, if you will. And the King sees her hanging out in the foyer, and he says, I see Esther nearby. What does she want? He says, bring her to me. And she comes in, and he extends the scepter, and she touches the end of the golden scepter. And so then all of a sudden she has access, and then she starts inviting him to the banquet that she's going to prepare for him and all of this stuff. And here's the awesome thing about this, guys. There ain't no concubine got access to that area. So if you're hung up on purification, listen to me. If you're hung up on purification, you will be better than most of society. You can stand in your group of guy friends when y'all have y'all's cookouts and they're playing near, you know, whatever and all that. And I'm not knocking that. That's great. Do that stuff. But when you're sitting there and you're hanging around with your guy friends and you look around and you're like, man, I'm better than most of these jokers. I love my wife better than them. Y'all know what I'm saying by when I say I'm better. I love my wife better than them. I'm a better daddy than them. And we compare ourselves to what we used to be, and we compare ourselves to culture and society. That's what purification will do for you. But you know what being a queen will do for you? Get you access to the King. And when you have access to the King, then you change culture. Really, guys, us being a bunch of good people that can hammer down on purification and get purification right will not change culture. It will intrigue people, and they will want to come check us out. Lisa, you were intrigued by Lori, and you wanted to come check us out, but you know what hooked you? Father God, the Holy Spirit, that's what hooked you. That's what got you. Stephanie, that's what got you. You were intrigued by us, I guess. I don't know. You're like, these Christians are pretty cool. There was a certain level of curiosity and intrigue. But when you came into this place, the thing that hooked you and Jacob was the presence of the Holy Spirit and the call for that. And I want to carry you to places deeper than purification. There'll be purification along the way, but that's just stuff. I want to carry you beyond that. You know what my message for Isabel and what for my message for Sydney Hannah is? It is not purification. It is not purification. It is, let me tell you how amazing the King is. Let me tell you about His goodness. He's a good God. And He has good things for you. And He has purpose. And He has life. And He has destiny. And He has intimacy. And He has relationship. And He has all of these amazing things that He has intended for you. And if I can come in and I can teach Isabel and release that into Isabel and let that be the atmosphere that Isabel grows up in, I will not have to worry about purification. I won't have to worry about her being pure through high school. I won't have to worry about her rather than listen to Brantley Gilbert than she had worship Jesus. That's it. Smitten by Him. Get her into His presence. And I ain't hating on Brantley Gilbert. He's all right sometimes. Come on. Is anybody getting this? I hope you get it the way I got it. Friday is the Lord's startling. This is heavy. I think every one of us, there's a stirring in us where we can say, God, I've gotten caught up in the cycle of purification, and I walk around that mountain, and I get frustrated, and I get bored. It's why you get frustrated with Victory Fellowship. It's why you get bored with Victory Fellowship sometimes, because you're like, man, it ain't no different than it was 6 months ago when I came in here. And if you're not careful, it turns into blah, 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 blah. And you hear when you come in, it's Charlie Brown's teacher. And you know the reason? You know the reason? It's because you're in a purification cycle. That's it. I'm convinced. That Lord told me that straight up. He said, this is it. We've become addicted to purification. It's nice. Better than what I used to live in. And it'll make you a good, it'll make you a good wife. Purification will make you a good wife, Amber. It'll make you a good mama one day. It'll make you a good church member. It'll even make you a good handmaid to minister to other people. But my God, is there not more than that? There's a more perfect way, and there's a higher way. I've been a good handmaid for a long time, and God says, uh-uh. We're going somewhere deeper, and we're going somewhere higher. Two of my heroes in the faith, y'all have heard me say this, but two of my heroes in the faith are Bill Johnson and Heidi Baker. And I'll rave about Bill Johnson, and I'll tell people, I'm like, man, Bill Johnson, just good gosh, they're changing the world, they're changing culture and all of that stuff. And people will listen to him on a podcast, and they'll walk away and be like, I was bored listening to him. Right? Some of you guys. We did Hosting the Spirit as one of our life group things, and I saw it even people in our life group. They're kind of like, this guy's bored. You know why? Because he's not a life coach. He's not one of the seven handmaidens that's going to purify you. Heidi Baker's not going to purify you. But she's wearing a crown on her head. And when she has a banquet for the King and invites Him, He shows up. And we come to church every week just hoping He invites us. But when it shifts, and we say, Lord, you know what's going to shift the dynamic and the power in this house? It's when we show up in our private lives and we say, Lord, I've prepared You a banquet today. As Esther, Your queen, have prepared You a banquet today. And you know what He'll do? He'll show up. And sometimes Haman gets invited. And it might be an enemy, it might be a friend, it might be a bystander. But they get to experience the King because you invited him to your banquet. Jamie, that's how we change culture. So y'all stand to your feet. It is where Haman gets taken care of. That got done in a banquet and in a secret place. I know this wasn't... Woo! in a pit with a lion on a snowy day. Ow! Awesome, I love preaching that sermon. But so often that sermon's purification. Right now, Nick, I'm not asking you to pick up a sword. I'm asking you to put on a skirt. You feel me? I'm not asking you to get purified. I'm asking you to press into the King. I'm not asking for Nick White to get his stuff together and I want to mold him and shape him into a man. I want you to be smitten by a King. Because when you're smitten by a King, watch out. Watch out. You know why David's mighty men were so mighty? They were smitten with David. You said, man, they were just a bunch of bad cats, and God collected them all together for him. They were a bunch of men that were smitten by a King. Said, where you go, I'll go. If you bleed, I bleed. If you die, I die. It wasn't about purification. It's about being smitten. Dude, in the natural, all you got to do is just be smitten by her. When you're smitten by her, she ain't got to worry about you looking at porn. Because it pales in comparison to her. She ain't got to worry about you cheating on her. Pales. She ain't got to worry about you putting groceries in the cabinet. If you're smitten by her, everything's going to take. You just got to be, if I can just get Joseph whipped into shape. We got all that. I've been working on him for, how long y'all been married? 15 years? Close. I've been working on him for 15 years. We're getting there. Just get smitten by Jesus. And smitten by you. And everything else falls right in line. So I'm not even going to get a musician up here because I want them to be able to respond. Sometimes we got to get in the right flow and the right mood and all of that. I don't always have to turn Kenny G on. When you're smitten properly, when you're moved properly, when you're stirred properly. I'm simply going to say, if you're in here this morning and your life has been more about purification than it's been about being smitten with the King, then you need to respond to Him. If it's been about concealed, come in and get all this junk out of my life and this, and then I'll get squared away. You know? It's not about that. Come in. Come on, everybody get back with me. Forget about George Jones or whatever. What's stirring in you? Jeffrey, has it been purification? Has it been purification? Has it been purification? Tiff, has it been purification? Isabel don't need that. Pray to God she don't have to go through a life where we're all constantly purifying. I hope she's above that already. I believe so. I say yes to that. If that's the thing, just move. Just begin to move. Just begin to move. Maybe just kneel down where you are, but if you need to get in this altar, come on down. Come on down. I'm not looking for a response, but maybe he is. Maybe he is. Maybe he wants to be more in your life than what a handmaid can do. Maybe he wants to be more in your life than what a good preacher can do. What a good worship leader can do. want to say this, and then we'll dismiss. Everybody listen to this. This is significant. If you are frustrated in your faith, and you're frustrated in me, and you're frustrated in the house, it's for a reason. We're supposed to frustrate you. Because we're simply supposed to be something that carries you to something higher. Hear me? If you're bored in your faith, and if you're bored in this house, and if you're bored with me, it's supposed to be. Because there's only one thing that's going to satisfy your soul. When you are completely satisfied with me, when you're completely satisfied with any minister on the face of this planet, you have settled for one of the seven handmaidens. You've settled for one of the seven handmaidens. And I promise you, they can only take you so far. Let that weigh on you. I don't apologize for that. I'm pointing you to something better and something bigger and something that won't bore you. I promise you, you listen to me 100 times a year, you're going to get bored. And you're going to get frustrated. Greatest sermons I've ever been in, I can't even tell you what the preacher said. Because I was smitten by a king. I promise you, Bill Johnson's not the greatest preacher that I've ever heard. I can name about 30 or 40 people right now. But you know what he is? He's Haggai. He's Haggai. You know what I want to be in your life? I don't want to be a handmaiden that makes you feel good. Those days are done. If that's what you need, I am not the guy for you. I'm not going to give you a salt scrub, Nick. But I'm going to talk to you about the king. I'm going to tell you about him, and I'm going to tell you what he likes. I'm going to tell you what he doesn't like. I can bring you into his presence, and then you can go places. I'll be Haggai for you. Don't ask me to be a handmaiden. Don't want me to be a handmaiden. Okay? Don't want me to be a handmaiden. Because I can't. I can't. I refuse to. I encourage everybody in here, listen to the podcast again. When I listen to multiple podcasts every week from different places, different venues and all of that stuff. And when I listen to a podcast, I will listen to it no less than probably 3 times. So that I feel like I'm getting. Let it resonate. So listen this again, not so you can say, "Oh, I listened to it 3 times." No. This word that God released. This is huge, guys. This is big. This is big. This is big for me. This is big for this house. If we want to go into places. Because at the end of the day, I want him to come to my banquet for him. My banquet for him. When I don't have to, I hope he shows up next year. I hope revival falls next year. You know how revival comes? You get into a place where you say, "God, we're having a banquet for you. Please show up." And he says, "Okay. Because you're queen." So I honor that request. Concubine can't even legally make that request. You know what happened to them if they'd made that request and tried to come into his presence? Dead. Killed, Carolyn. Killed. Only a bride can do that. That's why I want you to be a bride. Because all your efforts otherwise are illegal. Woo, come on, somebody. Come on. You try to engage me with intimacy, that's illegal. That's illegal because you're not my wife. If she tries to engage you with intimacy and she's not your wife, you know what that is? It's illegal. Think about it. Spiritual con, you think about it. We come in, we're like, "Oh, is that, ooh, I think that's illegal." So I bless y'all with that today. Y'all go and y'all seek His face and you pursue intimacy with Him. You pursue relationship with Him above everything else. And it will rock your world. I promise you that. I promise you that. Y'all have an awesome Mother's Day. I love you guys. Everybody remember Family Day next week. Y'all invite somebody. Let's have a good time out there next Sunday. And we'll just pray good weather. And we'll see you guys Wednesday night. Y'all be blessed.